If either of you had the opportunity to be the advisor to the government or to the president or the prime minister or the central committee or whatever form of government existed in the major countries of the world and perhaps the minor countries of the world, and you could re-educate the people in the position of power, and they were to actually put your suggestions into practice so that 50, 100 years from now, we would have a world functioning properly. What would that look like? And I ask this question because it's very hard for people who have grown up under one system to imagine that system not being there. They think that the world works because of the system. And I'd like to try to get to a sense of what the world could work like if the systems were in harmony with the natural principle or the way things really are, as opposed to the way we are told that they are. So if you're willing to speculate for a while on a possible vision of a modern society that's integrated into a global economy and all of it working really well, what would that look like in terms of the money systems?
As I've commented before, I see the future as evolving towards private competing currencies and the currency that has the best safeguards, the lowest cost, and provides the best service, and still has 100% backing, will garnish the vast majority of the business. Simply because people in their transactions will behave in their own self-interest, and they will choose the currency that provides the best store of value and services and price of services available. So if I was to have any contact with any of those notable governments around the world, then I would ask them to do exactly like Richard Rahn, who wrote a book called The End of Money and the Struggle for Financial Privacy, and that is to bring about laws to support private competing currencies. Of course, the problem there is that it is in direct conflict with their survival. And so it's a very difficult situation because you're asking a government to do something wise, something that governments are not known for, something that makes our original founding fathers stand out above and beyond all the rest of those guys. And we can only hope that some country, and it doesn't have to be a very large country, it could be a small country, that says that they are not going to go along with the current monetary system and they begin to break out. Now, this is a small island nation that says that they'll break out from the central banks and they will start issuing 100% value-backed currency. They would garnish an enormous amount of publicity and PR about a currency that a government issues. They could actually lead us back to a value-backed system. Regardless, I see that happening because of the evolution of the internet and the freedom that it brings to the scene. So my idea is that it will happen. We just don't know how much opposition the government or how many roadblocks the government will throw in the way.
Very good. Now, the question I'm really trying to ask is to get an image of a world after that's happened, that small government maybe did that and the competing currencies did that, and we're 100 or 200 years down the road and there is no more Federal Reserve Bank or central bank. What is the function of government as far as the monetary system in that future world where it's really based on the right values?
Well, I think the position of government is to safeguard the populace from fraud within the system. Let the free market reign. It will probably need to set some limitations, but it cannot set any limitations in terms of the value or the nature of the money. That would give more prosperity to more people than any other system possible. The end result would be the same prosperity of what happened after the United States went off of a totally fiat system, went back to a totally value-backed system. Everybody went back to work. America enjoyed the most prosperous time ever. That could be the future.
You're talking about right after the Revolutionary War.
Right after the Constitution was ratified.
Okay.
And that's, again, the letter that I was talking about from General Washington to General Lafayette, from President
So, in a
Washington
sense,
to.
you're saying that experiment has already been done and the result proves the point.
Overwhelmingly. I mean, we went from right-by shootings to a total prosperous, peaceful, zero unemployment society within 2 years.
Without any income tax.
Without any income tax.
With just excise taxes on specific items.
The situation there that was different was that we had a very limited government that fit within the dictates of the Constitution. We sure don't have that today. And because the government wants to maintain itself, we're talking about the individual bureaucrats, they want to maintain that they still have a check coming in. They don't realize the damage they do by stealing from everybody else for them to have their job, which doesn't even need to be done.
Gold and silver simply will facilitate that and keep it from self-destructing if you have that infrastructure and you have that capability to produce. Whereas with the fiat money, even if you have the productive capacity, it'll self-destruct in the long run due to the greed and natural inclinations of those at the top who make the rules. It's a temptation that is virtually impossible to resist, and history has repeatedly demonstrated that. And so it's almost like gold and silver acts as an anchor. It won't cure everything, and it won't do your work for you, but it'll prevent it from being stolen by somebody else just because of their position.
Gold and silver simply provides a discipline to keep the government from doing what their own inclinations lead them to do.
Okay. It imposes discipline on the system.
It does.
Yeah.
It is the discipline in the system.
I can see that.
So in today's world where you have first world, second world, and third world societies, and they have the relative relationship to each other within a single society, various classes, the wealthy class, the middle class, and the lower class. In this transition, which we're trying to imagine, from where we are now to where we can be, how do you see the balancing out of those patterns on a global basis between first, second, and third world economies?
I think we're heading for a crisis. I just can't see how you can compare a system where a Wall Street lawyer is getting effectively $50,000 an hour, if you actually price it out, versus some 12-year-old child working in a sweatshop in China for 10 cents an hour. Something's got to give. It's all being done through this money system that imposes artificial values on things such that one man's labor is worth 10 cents an hour and another man's labor is worth $50,000 an hour. I just don't see any good coming of it.
Nothing facilitates a greater greed than fiat money. And by returning to a value-backed currency, everyone prospers and you have natural order. Some people can't make more than 10 cents an hour. Some people simply aren't worth more than 10 cents an hour. Some jobs don't even warrant 10 cents an hour. Some countries control the economies more than other countries. It isn't just a matter of money, but it's a matter of the overall mix of government and how they organize, treat, and value the people that are in their country. By having a value-backed currency, we're going to have a certain amount of order because we have the same currency. We don't know what 10 cents worth of labor buys in China. We need to have a return to value. But the problem is that we're now into 89 years of having a fiat currency. So we have this tremendous trillions of dollars out here with a very small, true, hardcore value. And this is what we're going to be seeing in the years ahead in terms of having to digest all of those paper fiat dollars out there back into value. So we're going to see much higher prices in metals, and we're going to see a reallocation or relocation of the money.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this a little while ago, and it occurred to me that whenever I hear the term level playing field, I have a strong urge to be ill. Take human strength as the standard of comparison. We use the Olympic weightlifting as the standard. And if you use that as a standard, then it's fair to say that the world's strongest person is 10 times stronger than the average person. The average person might be able to lift 100 pounds over their head, whereas you have these behemoths in the Olympic weightlifting championship lifting 1,000 pounds over their head. And if you take, say, personal attractiveness as a standard of comparison, it's a little bit subjective, but there are ways to actually measure it by symmetry and this sort of thing. But let's say that the most attractive person in the world is 3 times more attractive than the average person. And finally, you deal with intelligence. Say that the standard by definition is 100, and that's supposedly the world's most intelligent individual has an IQ of 250. So let's say they're 3 times, just to make a good margin of difficulty. Then if it were a truly level playing field, then the strongest, most intelligent, most attractive person in the world, if all three of those were in the same person, then that person ought to be 3 times 3 times 10 or 90 times wealthier than the average person. Yet the average person, or the wealthiest person in the world, is in fact some 50 million times more wealthy than the average person. And to even speak of fairness and equity in a system like that, it's kind of a ludicrous question, because you simply cannot arrive at that result through physical beauty, strength, or intelligence, even extraordinary intelligence. The only way you can achieve that kind of a result is by manipulating systems. And the most guilty of those systems is this fiat money system.
That's right. And the answer to that is a free market system.
Well, gentlemen, I think we have our work cut out for us, and I thank you for helping to clarify the conditions within which we need to do that work.
Thank you, Frederick.
Thank you indeed.
For additional information on this topic, go to your online resource center at www.pqionline.cc. Click on Products and Solutions and go to Disc number 13.